A few years back, there used to be a programme on the television called One Man and His Dog. It was about sheepdog trials. From that programme, if you'd watched it week on week, you might get the impression that being a shepherd was all about silly sheep, strange whistles and clever dogs, working in the idyllic setting of rolling hills and countryside. Well, I don't know any shepherds today, but maybe that is the case today. But back in Jesus' time, shepherding was a hard and dangerous occupation. It played a vital role in ensuring the safety of animals that were vital to the economy. They provided both food and clothing. Thieves, wolves, and bandits roamed the countryside around the towns and the villages, and the shepherd was the only thing that stood between them and their prey. Now, in Jesus' day, one of the roles of a shepherd was actually to be a door or a gate. The pens were made of rocks, circles of rocks found in the fields around, and the entrance was just empty. During the summertime, sheep were generally kept in flocks out in the fields where they could get decent pasture. It might be a communal flock made of sheep belonging to many people from the village. And so this dry stone wall at night would serve as the pen where the sheep would be gathered. And when the shepherd had gathered all the sheep into the pen, he would himself sit or lie in the entranceway. He would be a human gate. And the only way a wolf could get in would be to go through that shepherd, a dangerous and difficult occupation. Now, over these summer weeks, we're looking at seven I am sayings of Jesus from John's Gospel. So far, we've considered I am the bread of life. Last week, we looked at I am the light of the world. And for our third installment, we're looking at this one, which is perhaps a little less familiar to us. I am the gate. If you have your Bibles open, we're going to be focusing chiefly on verses 9 and 10 from our gospel reading, which you can find if you want your Bibles open on 10, 1076. 9 and 10. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So we're going to be considering three things this morning. The gate is the means by which we are saved. The gate is the means by which we come in and go out and find pasture. And the third, the gate is the means by which we obtain life to the full. But before we look at any of that, let me just put this passage in a little bit of context for you. The passage that we had read to us this morning and as it goes on for the Good Shepherd narrative that follows it, they are both here as a direct result of what Jesus is teaching because of what has gone before. If you were to flip back to chapter 9 in your Bibles, you'll see that here we have the story of Jesus healing the man born blind. He heals the man by spitting on the ground, mixing some mud and smearing it on his eyes, then telling him to go and bathe in the pool at Siloam. It's a sacred pool used during the Feast of Tabernacles. And as Jesus is speaking, it's quite probably the last day of that particular feast. And the Feast of Tabernacles is when the Jewish people celebrated with thanksgiving what God had provided for them when they wandered in the wilderness. But it was also the time when they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah that was promised to them. So the man that was blind is told to go and bathe in this pool, the pool that has great significance for the people. And he does so. And as he bathes, his sight is restored. But the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they investigate the matter. And they repeatedly question the man. They question his family, his friends. Was he in fact born blind? Has he in fact been healed? And more particularly, what role did Jesus play in it all? Well, the man never wavers from his story that Jesus healed him. And he is himself frustrated at their apparent lack of faith. Eventually, having been brought in and questioned yet again, he declares in chapter 9, verse 30, "Why, this is a marvelous thing. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Now, nobody's ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And as a result of that declaration of faith, the Jewish leaders throw him out of the synagogue. They effectively excommunicate him. This healed man, because he is telling them exactly what they don't want to hear, that Jesus is the man from God. The man from God. He is the Messiah. The blind man can see Jesus for exactly who he is. Yet the Pharisees and the religious leaders are blind to the truth, and even worse, they are actively opposed to it. So then comes Jesus' parables about the sheep and the gate and the shepherd. Now, I've told you a little bit of the significance of the sheep pen, but let's think a little bit more about why Jesus uses this particular illustration. In the story as Jesus tells it, those who know him are the sheep inside the pen. And those who don't, they have to go through the gate, through him, in order to get into the sheepfold, into safety. Jesus declares that he is the way to safety. Or to put it another way, he is the means by which we are to be saved. So the first and most obvious implication of what Jesus is saying is that in order to be a part of God's family, to come into God's kingdom, we have to go through Jesus. We can't be a part of God's family, his kingdom, any other way. We have to come through Jesus, the gate. But why is Jesus telling us this? Well, remember, he's responding to the hostility of the religious teachers. They're supposed to have the spiritual care of the people as their priority. But instead, the religious elite have burdened the people with rules and regulations. They've interpreted the scriptures to suit their own ends. And they've sought to keep the weakest and most vulnerable in society in their place. In short, they have done nothing to bring life and hope to the people. This picture is of the shepherd who lies down in the opening of the pen. He provides safety for those within and safe passage for those seeking protection. In contrast, we have the thief and the bandit who attempt to enter by climbing over the wall of the pen and whose intentions towards the sheep are anything but good. The shepherd offers protection from the enemies of the flock, meaning anyone who teaches a false message, anyone who misleads and misdirects, anyone who keeps people away from knowing the God who made us and loves us and wants us for himself. Jesus is saying that anyone who doesn't bear witness to him, who alone has seen the Father, who is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, anyone who doesn't bear witness to him is like a thief or a bandit. Those who don't bring salvation, but rather snatch it away. And that's a real challenge for us as a church if we want to be making, growing and being disciples. During Hope Morton, a number of people from this church and from Morton Baptist Church joined with our Through Faith missions team in knocking on doors here in Morton. Most doors that we knocked on, if the people were in, they were actually opened very willingly. But a fair number had signs on them that declared, "No cold callers." And those signs were the result of past experiences with unwelcome visitors and dangerous messages. We want to be a church that declares a message of hope and comfort and joy and speaks of Jesus, who is the gate of the kingdom of God. So the gate offers us protection for those who would seek to harm us and mislead us. But the gate also forms a passageway through a barrier. And the barrier that I'm thinking of particularly is the barrier of sin. Now, over the past 3 weeks, we've heard Jesus call himself the bread of life, the light of the world, and now today, the gate. Now, the imagery in each of those may be different, but the message is the same. Jesus is the one true means of access that we have to the Father in heaven. He's the one who reveals our need and provides the means to meet it. The shepherd lays himself down to become the gate for the sheep. Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross to become the way to the Father, dealing with our sin. The second thing that we learn about the gate is that it offers freedom to come in and go out. Now, that's a phrase that actually used quite often in the Bible to refer to a life that is lived in the presence of God in obedience to his commandments. In our passage from Deuteronomy that we heard read to us this morning, you heard, "You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out." It's a theme that's revisited time and time again in the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 121, we read, "The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." Because Jesus is the gate, we have the freedom to live our lives in his presence, watched over, guided, protected. We have the security of knowing that our future is certain. And we have the promise that if we hold fast to his teachings, we will always be protected from the pressures and the temptations of this world, the things that would try to drive a wedge between us and our Father God. But as followers of Jesus, we're not only brought into the safety of the fold, but since that gate opens both ways, we can also be led out into fresh water and green pastures. They will come in and go out and find pasture. We are disciples. That's what we said. If we believe in Jesus, we are disciples. Our goal is to become like the teacher. And through him, we are fed and nurtured and given purpose. Now we can stay in the pen, safe and secure. The scenery doesn't change very much. We kind of feel comfortable with the patterns with which we're familiar. There's no need to venture out and explore further, stretch our spiritual muscles, venture outside into the rich pastures that Jesus wants us to taste and experience, good things that will help us grow stronger in our faith and bolder in our witness. We can stay in the pen, but if we are serious about making, growing, and being disciples, then we don't want to be a church that keeps itself to itself, only opening the door a little way, leaving the safety chain on and peering out fearfully into the unknown, worried about letting in strangers, worried about letting the heat escape. We want to be a church that steps out into the unknown, following Jesus, listening to him, learning from his example, living according to his word, sharing what we know of him with others, discovering the truth of what the psalmist wrote, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Now, repeatedly throughout John's Gospel, we hear Jesus saying that his purpose in coming was to bring life to his people. And we hear it again here. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you were with us last week, you might remember Jeremy talked about Jesus offering not simply pie in the sky when you die, but steak on your plate while you wait. Now, even as a vegetarian, I understand the appeal in that. Jesus is the gate to the kingdom. And when we pass through the gate, by putting our trust in him, by accepting his lordship in our lives, then we have access to that fullness of life that he longs for each of us to experience. We live in a society that is driven by consumerism. Yet the very fact that we are always being told to move on to the next best thing shows us how deeply unsatisfying materialism really is. Today, those thieves and those robbers are not simply those who preach a different gospel to Jesus, but they're also the retail giants, the media empires, and the sporting phenomena that dominate our national consciousness and divert our attention away from listening for the voice that assures us of life. These things are not wrong in themselves, but when they become all that we strive for, they become thieves and robbers and wolves. Those who enter through Jesus find life, which means that we all begin on the outside and that we all need to enter through him. In Genesis chapter 28, we can read about Jacob's dream at Bethel, in which he has a vision of a stairway stretching from earth to heaven. And at the top of the stairway, he hears God's voice declaring that all people on earth will be blessed through Jacob and his descendants. And when Jacob wakes up, he declares the place to be awesome. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Centuries later, a descendant of Jacob declared himself to be the gate. And by faith in him, we too can actually today boldly and joyfully shout, how awesome is this place? This is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, the gate, is in our midst, leading us to the Father.